There are two phrases within the whole of this book that define who God is. And this morning we run across one of those. God is light. And our title is to have fellowship with God and others. We looked last week that it all begins with fellowship with Jesus Christ. We can have fellowship with God and others when we are in Jesus Christ. We have trusted in Him as Savior. We have realized our sin and confessed our sin and asked for Him to save us from our sin. And as Scripture says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive us, as we're going to look at this morning. How, though, do we become into this fellowship? Well, it's through God being light, shining His light upon us, who He is. And out of who He is, our response, which we will see here in this section of 1 John verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2, if we confess. Let's read this together and unpack what is going on here in 1 John, in the text. A book that is very much unlike other epistles, more like a poetic sermon. There's no introduction. There's no address to certain churches. John just starts right off the bat preaching Jesus Christ, the one who we saw and heard and who we are proclaiming to you. That sounds like the beginning of a sermon. Let's kick it off with an introduction. Remember who you have seen and who you have heard. Well, this is the message that we heard from Jesus Christ as He starts in verse 5. Let's read this together. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray over God's word. Father, thank you for this light that you have given to us in 1 John chapter 1. The light of the truth, the light of who you are. You are called here light. You open our eyes to see the truth, to see, as I call it, reality. Lord, thank you for revealing to my own heart what is true reality, for calling me out of darkness into the light, for using others around me, my spouse, my wonderful wife as well, for how she shines light into my heart to show me that I still sin and can follow as this calls me to follow, confess, and remember that I have an advocate. His name is Jesus. Lord, may that truth ring clear for everyone in this room this morning. Thank you for your word. Your word is light. It is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. Thank you for giving us this gift, your words to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, having fellowship with God, includes having the right message. It includes having the right practice. What is our ongoing journey looking like? Having the right prayer and having the right defense. Having fellowship with God. And I say the word, importantly, having, because as we will see, even though as you read maybe through 1 John chapter 1, the language seems like it's kind of a, this happened, if we say, if we confess, if we believe, if it kind of seems like a point-by-point bullet list. But the truth is, most of the verbs in this whole section show us that this is ongoing, that fellowship with God is an ongoing process. It's a journey, that closeness with God is ongoing in relationship to the light, to ongoing or continually walking in the light, to ongoing confession or continual confession to the Lord, to ongoing remembering who our defense attorney is and who defends us, who advocates on our behalf. To have fellowship with God, we have to have the right message, the right practice, the right prayer, and the right defense. And especially John, I think, begins with these two pillars of his book. God is light and God is love, as we see in 1 John chapter 4. We need that message for us today. God is true, the true light. He is reality. You know, those flashlights that we've left on and we're still trying to use with half of a battery, I just can't see as far as it used to shine. I kind of know what's there, but, you know, and then you get, well, actually, when I was doing security back in my security days, we had some great lights, of course. We had this giant, it literally was about this wide in circumference, and we had a lot of fun with that light, but you couldn't get away from that light. Even if you were half a mile away, you just pull the trigger, and it's like a spotlight on someone, and we did have to use it a few times, unfortunately, but that thing was powerful, and that reminds me in some ways that is the light of God. Just breaking through the darkness. You wouldn't want to be on the other end of that light. Oh my goodness. the whole area around me is in light. Of course, I hope you're never the one running in that situation, but that kind of light became useful. We could actually see things in the darkness. God is light. And I would pray for each one of you that message is sunk deep in your heart and you will never forget it. That there are other lights being promoted to us. There are other truths that the world is saying, follow this. Adopt this. Study this. This will be the answer that you're looking for. This process or class. I have to be careful too not to say this class is the answer for all things, because only the true light is the light that we need. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. This is our light. And it only makes sense that we have this. It's called the light because God is light. It doesn't say God is a light or God likes the light or think of light. It says God is in his very nature, who he is light. You think of the stories as Moses asked the Lord in Exodus 33 and 34, I would love to see you, God. God says, you can only see my back. Actually, you got to get into this crevice in the cliff because my light, my glory, who I am is too much. We were singing about Revelation, God coming as lightning and as a storm, as a glorious light, blinding. You think of Jesus on the mount during the transfiguration. He showed those three men, James, Peter, and John. Peter, James, and John, however you might say it. His glory. Possibly only a little bit of it. I can't imagine it was his full. Could they have survived his full glory? Who knows? It was encompassed in the perfect man, his body, his flesh. But he showed them his radiance. God is light. And this is seen right in the beginning of John's book of the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. For as Jesus ministered, he called many and said, you love the darkness rather than the light that I have to offer. Isn't that amazing? John, in his first chapter, says, here is the true light. True reality. And he compares and actually puts together this idea that what it means for God to be light is he is life. And we get that in Pleasant Hill. We need light. And when we get light, everything just grows. And it grows too fast, right? But that's how God ordered things, that the sun gives light, gives energy and power to create growth in those plants and those trees. It's needed. The light gives life. And God says, the great light, myself, I am light. I give life because I am light. He gives us true life, which includes and encompasses a new fellowship with the Father, the Son, the Spirit. And as he says in the beginning of 1 John, fellowship with others, with one another. It all begins and hinges on God being light. And why do I say the right message? Because at this time, in John's day, what was being talked about was a different enlightenment. Did you read there in John chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, the true light has come and he has enlightened us to reality? Well, there was at this time something else that was being touted that would enlighten us. Ourself, our knowledge, what we know, what we experience, that is true enlightenment. That was what was being proclaimed. So it only makes sense that John starts with the right message. No, God is light and life. God enlightens us. And you know what? That translates right now. There are other things touting answers for life, solutions, whether it be counseling or physical solutions or you name it, medical things. And some of that is needed and legitimate. But true life, true light is only found in God. It also, though, includes the right practice. And it was really hard to understand how to convey this. But John says three times here in these few verses, if we say, and he puts it in this this language of if we were to say. And when he says we, he means if anyone were to say, if someone in the church were to say, if someone in the world were to say, if anyone were to say, oh, I have fellowship with him. I have fellowship with God. Oh, yes, God, yes, I know God. Oh, how easy it is for us to say that. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk, or the word is while we are still walking, presently walking in darkness, we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. We have to have a right practice. And I hope this doesn't scare you, but actually encourage you with this word of practicing the truth. Because we all know what practicing is, right? How many of us have practiced something? How many of us are still doing what we know? But we know that word practice in itself means that we have to ongoing, continue in, get better in, work at over and over. You know, we might see this virtuous piano player and, oh my goodness, you're amazing. You are gifted. And he'll say, oh, well, I'm still working on it. Or you fill in the blank, an athlete, you know, oh, how much practice are you putting in to perform like that? Oh, well, there's still much to be done. My practicing is not over. I haven't reached the end of my practice. We, as Christians, are in this journey of practicing the truth. We continue in it. We have to daily practice and be in his word, be with fellow believers. It's this ongoing idea. It's not, I have arrived. I have practiced the truth, and I am the example of one who has completed. That would be folly to say that. Scripture doesn't say that. Paul, though, at the end of his life, says in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. My practice is almost over. And I, by God's grace, can say, I am still practicing till I give my very last breath. So what are we practicing? Are we practicing the truth? Or are we this word walking, living in darkness? Your fruits really are the telltale of your words. My fruits are the telltale of my words. I can say lots of things, but the question is, what am I doing? Am I living, walking? And again, that image of walk, it's a journey. It's a track that we follow. We are walking in the truth. We are walking in the light as he is in the light. Walking in the light. That means receiving the light that he has given us. Being in this. Meditating on it. As Psalm 1 says, day and night. He goes on to say, if we say that we're having fellowship with God, yet we walk in darkness. He says again in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, this is also in the present action. So it's saying presently I don't sin. I don't have sin. We're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, I don't talk about sin. No, I don't believe in sin. No, there's never been sin. This word is an idea of we've never sinned. If we say that we've never sinned, strong language, we are making God a liar. Because he has told us in his word, he has shown us the light, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We're making God a liar if we excuse or ignore or say, sin, I don't want to talk about that. That's not reality. That's not here and now. Let's talk about other things. That is reality. His word is not in us if we refuse to believe that sin exists, that sin is even in our hearts. Even as they wanted to maybe say, some of them, I do not sin. As verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, not me. I don't sin. And there's this word of lying. So when we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, we're lying to each other. But if we in our hearts say, I don't sin, or I don't want to think about that. What it's saying is we're lying to ourselves. That's what this word deceive means. If we say we've never sinned, we're calling God a liar. We have to be so careful. But John doesn't leave us in this state of, yes, there is sin. That's reality. But he shows us how to have fellowship with God and others, even when we sin. And it begins first with a prayer, the right prayer, as we look thirdly. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, and that's again a present action, if we are in the present day, daily confessing our sins, ongoing, that's a reality of our life, he is faithful. And he is just, or that word is, he is a righteous one. Faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Interestingly enough, these two verbs, to forgive and to cleanse, are verbs that are told in the original language, they happened already. Isn't that insightful? That God, in our confession, has forgiven us. Once and for all, through the cross, he has cleansed us once and for all through the cross. We look back in our confession to what Jesus has done. But we're ongoing, we're continually confessing our sins. He is a faithful and just God to forgive, to cleanse. And I believe those words, they happened at the cross, but we need them on a daily basis. And the way we have that is through confession of sin. Part of that is painted here in chapter 2 in the beginning. I'm writing so that you may not sin. And here he calls them little children. He's speaking directly to these Christians, calling them my little children. Another word for this would be my beloved children. It's one of the greatest terms of endearment that John gives. I write this so that you would not sin. And you go, well, I can't be perfect. Is John proclaiming perfection? Is he saying I can actually not sin? No, but we are a new creation. The old flesh desires, darkness has been traded with a new creation, new desires, a new want to please the Father that was never there before. When we were in darkness, it was like what we read earlier. It was self. Me, myself, and I. When we were brought into the light, when God, who is light, showed us reality, and we saw, I am a servant in his great story, in his great kingdom. This is about him. This is not about me. When we saw that, we realized, I want to live for that kingdom. I want to live for that higher purpose. I find joy in that higher purpose. I find fulfillment. I find fellowship. I find a unity and a oneness. And isn't that true? When our eyes are fixed on his purposes, it brings us together. It unifies the church. When our eyes are on some horizontal plan or scheme or desire within us, and we haven't checked, is this the Lord's kingdom I'm thinking about, or is this my kingdom I'm thinking about? It doesn't create fellowship. For even John says there in verse 7, did you catch that? If we walk in the light, if we are walking with this ongoing confessing, with this ongoing living, remembering we've been forgiven, we've been cleansed of that former sin, we can confess it again to God. You have cleansed me. Wash me from that guilt and that shame. We're not just walking then in fellowship with God through that, but John says we have fellowship with one another. Confession actually brings us back into a right relationship with each other. This was one of the main teachings of that reformer that actually you might have heard of this morning, Martin Luther. When he wanted to bring people back to the Word of God, he nailed those 99 theses. And the first one says, all of life is one of daily repentance, of confession. If you're a Christian, if I'm a Christian, I have to be in the practice, the journey of confessing to the Lord. I am not perfect, Lord. I have probably sinned. I probably have. It's about midway morning. I might have neglected to serve my wife this morning. I might have said something I shouldn't have said. I might have come to work with the wrong spirit. I might have sinned. What do I do? How do I have fellowship with all of you? I have to confess. And I pray that I will never stop praying, Lord, I need you. Sunday morning, I'm proclaiming your word. I need you to speak through me your word, to share that you are light. And there is no darkness at all. This message is an emphasis. There is no darkness, nothing. That's the literal translation. God has not an ounce of darkness. And that was also something being taught in this day, kind of this evil good that, oh, the higher being, he's kind of in both worlds. He's got good, he's got evil, the black and white. No. John says, that's not God. God has no evil in him. God is good. He is light. He is life. He is holy. He is pure. He is not tainted. He cannot be tainted with sin. He had to turn his back on his son, Jesus, when Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world on the cross. Broken fellowship. What has light to do with darkness? As 1 Corinthians 6 states. Lastly, though, it closes with, when we do sin, what's the answer? John also reminds us, here's the answer. We have a defense attorney. We have an advocate. We have one who is speaking and defending on our behalf. Here it is in verse 1 of chapter 2. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Or it could say, the righteous one. He is the righteous one. He advocates for us. He is speaking your name if you have trusted in Jesus. He has covered you. He steps in front of me when I am accused. As Revelation 12:10 says, Satan, the accuser, is trying to accuse the brethren night and day before the Father. And Jesus, our advocate, steps in front of us. And he says, you can't touch this person. I'm advocating for her. I'm advocating for him. And he calls you by name. He is your defense. And it would not be great if it said, Jesus Christ, the man who tried to do as good as he could. No, he's the righteous one. He fulfilled all righteousness. He satisfied the judgment, the wrath of God. He is the only one, can only be the one, to stand in our place as our advocate. And there's this big word here. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is propitiating. He stepped forward. This word pro means to go before. He stepped out and said, I will take their place. I will propitiate for their sins. I will be that sacrificial lamb, the atonement. I will be the sacrifice that should have been us, should have been myself there. But he stepped forward. And he not just steps forward for all of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ, but when it says he is the propitiation for the whole world, it means, like John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am here to step forward for all who come and trust in Jesus Christ. I am the only answer for all the world. It's found in one person. What do we do when we sin? We have an advocate, and we confess to that advocate, who we should declare, Father, my sin grieves you, but it has been paid for. And you look at me through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you see Jesus, the righteous one, covering me, and you declare me righteous. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, Jesus became our sins so that we might become the righteousness of God. We're not just kind of, well, thank you, Jesus, that we're covered, but, No. He declares us in that covering for us to be righteous as well. Clean, as he says there in verse 9 and verse 7. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Fellowship means we believe that God is light. He is ultimate reality. That we have an ongoing process, a journey. We are practicing the truth. We don't love the darkness any longer. We're not gone from the darkness. We are still in the flesh, but we don't love it anymore. We love the light. We love the truth. And we have a different prayer now. We confess. We confess and we plead the advocacy of our Savior. Jesus, you have stood in my place. You are defending me. You are cleansing me. You have forgiven me. You might want to ask, well, how does confession look? And I guess I'll just end with this. To confess means, and the word literally means, to say the same thing that God says about your sin. You know how cleansing that is? It seems like dark, but it's cleansing to say, God, here is the sin that I'm committing. I will name it as you name it. I will see how ugly it is as you see how ugly it is. And I will bring it to the cross. And I will remember it has been paid for. And if we see sin for how ugly it is, we will see our forgiveness and our cleansing in the right way. God, thank you that you would forgive that. That you would draw me out of that darkness and bring me into light, a new creation. Thank you. I know I can have a tendency to sugarcoat or to retitle a sin to make it sound as nice as it possibly could sound. But God says, no, your cleansing involves saying the sin as God sees the sin. Even saying that, God, you see my sin. You see how it breaks relationship. You see how it brought your Son to the cross. But you have forgiven that. You have cleansed me from, fill in the blank. Name it as God names it. And then remember, he is the faithful and righteous one. He has forgiven our sins. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And he is cleansing us from all unrighteousness. He is our defense. He has gone before us. He has stepped in front of us. He has taken our place. That is good news. That is how we have fellowship with God and with others. We plead, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin, and we go back to Jesus Christ and confess our sins when we do sin. John gives us the instructions. He gives us the truth. God is light. And part of our confession is saying, make that light more a reality in my heart. Make me shine as a new creation. We shine as lights to the world, as Ephesians chapter 4 states. Fellowship with God and others. It means coming into the light. And we come into the light through confession. And you did that once as God moved you towards salvation. And John says, continue to confess and be brought back to your Savior. Be brought back into that fellowship and into that light. This is how we walk in the light. May we go forward this week desiring to confess, to walk in the light and say the same as God sees it in us, to confess our sins and to take and be thankful for that forgiveness and that cleansing that he has given us. Amen.